This morning is going to be a shorter sermon because we have, this is the Sunday that the elders are going to share their vision with the congregation for this upcoming year. I know it's January the what? I don't remember. What is today? January the 28th. Thank you. Oh, I remember 15th. That's my birthday. That's the only date I remember in January. But we had the storm and factors that came to bear, so we're a little late, but that's all right. But I look forward to what they had to say, and I hope that you will take some of the thoughts and the challenges to heart that they will be bringing to you in just a few minutes. Let me, and I may run into a little bit of what Greg is going to say, but we can hear it twice. But let me just remind you of a few things from last year. And I know our board has changed, but last year we had 32 baptisms. And could that be more? Maybe. I don't know. But I'm really happy that we had 32 baptisms last year. And, you know, we can't even look. If we had 32 baptisms, how many people have we talked to? If 32 obeyed the gospel, how many more have we reached out to and tried to share the gospel with? That's what I find encouraging about that number. In fact, we can't really, you know, in terms, I had a man call me from California, a really good man. He's trying hard, working with a congregation there. And he had some questions and he was had some issues with some goals and getting some kickback about some goals that were trying to be set for the congregation. And what I wanted to remind him of is that whatever goals you set, don't have any of them that depend on somebody else. Make them go, like, we can never set a goal for how many baptisms we're going to have in a year. That's outside of our control. That depends on the person who, whether he will or will not, obey the gospel. What is in my control is reaching out to people, telling people about Jesus. And we can make a goal as to, I'll be more vocal about Jesus, but a goal saying, this is how many baptisms, that's out of my hands. But I was happy with the evangelistic effort that the congregation has been involved in for the last two years, especially. And already this year, we have had 6 baptisms. And so what that tells me is that we're talking to people about Jesus. And I really appreciate that, and you're to be commended for that. One of the things that we do that is really a good thing here, and there, if you're looking for a way to get involved and you don't know, like, I don't know how to evangelize. I'm uncomfortable with knocking doors. I don't know how to do certain things. Listen, we had 367 Bible correspondence courses that are ongoing right now from last year. There are always people needed to grade their study guides. You know, they take these little tests through the mail and they answer it, they send it back. Sign up to be one of the people that grades their paper and sends it back to them. From time to time, they'll ask you a question, and you can write that answer to them and help them to learn more about God's Word. If you don't know how to answer it, you can write to, you know, send it to Spencer or Christian or me and or the elders, and we'll help you with that. But there's room to get involved in teaching in that way as well. I don't know, our sermons, we stream, and we reached 79 countries last year. People in 79 different nations of this world tuned in and listened to the proclamations of Jesus here. I can only imagine what the Apostle Paul would think about that. You know, he broke his neck trying to go all through the world and preach the gospel, and we have such a convenient way because of technology to do that today. I did a little figuring. My family, we make a joke when the kids are all together. We make a joke that the Higginbothams do not do math. We are terrible. You know, we have a doctor, and we have, you know, all these things in our family, a lawyer, but we can't do math. And somebody will ask a question, and we sit there, we have five different answers. So yesterday I was trying to think, how many lessons do we teach here at this congregation in a year's time? And so I came up with a different number every time I added it. So I went down and I asked Kim, and we worked it out together. I still don't know if it's right, but you know what? We probably have 3,600 plus presentations about Jesus and his word from this facility every year. You know what that means? 10 times on average a day, there is someone teaching about Jesus from this facility. That I think that's incredible. We had two Forever His events last year that, you know, Forever His is a ministry that is directed toward people who have special needs. We have such a good relationship with, or a good reputation with people in this community, because we reach out to people that other people look past. And we had over 150 people respond to that ministry last year from here to get involved, to help those people who have those needs. And there's just a list, and Greg will talk about more of it. But I want to just hit a couple highlights to say we are doing the Lord's work here. There is much to be thankful for. There is more that we can do, and the vision, I believe, for this year will challenge us to do that. But I want to remind you of three things, and then the lesson will be yours. Our theme for this year that Greg will share with you is speaking the truth in love. You know, last year the theme was holding fast to the pattern, bearing fruit the year before that, and we have different themes for every year. But what those themes mean, it's not that, all right, we haven't been doing this, so that's going to be our theme this year, so we'll start doing that. Not at all. What it is that we want to focus our attention on this particular aspect. This year, we want to focus our attention to be constantly mindful of speaking the truth in love. And that involves three things. First of all, it involves speaking. Folks, we've got to speak up. I know sometimes it's intimidating and I know it's uncomfortable, but the more you do it, the easier it gets, the more natural it'll be to you. It won't be a hard thing once you start putting it into practice. Do you have trouble talking about the Vols? Of course not. You can talk about the Vols any day of the week. Do you have trouble talking about the presidential campaign? Of course not. You can talk about that freely. I wish we could talk about Jesus as freely as we do the presidential race and as freely as we do our favorite sports team. It needs to be that natural to us. Incorporate. It doesn't have to be confrontational. I'm not talking about confrontation. I'm talking about just including Jesus in our conversation. Make it a way of life. When we see how beautiful the day is, we don't say, wow, look at that beautiful sunset. We say, wow, look at that sunset God has given us today. Just include those conversations about God, and you'll be surprised at how that will open doors for you. We need to speak. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul said, and it's kind of a motto, I believe, therefore I speak. I love that motto. And boy, it really fits this year's theme. How can I believe what I believe and not speak? If those outside of Christ are really lost and headed for a devil's hell, how can I stay silent? Paul said, I believe what Jesus has taught, and because of that, I have to speak. Jeremiah brought up the same thing in Jeremiah chapter 20. But Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If God has saved you Don't be shy about telling people that he has. Speak the truth in love begins with speaking. We need to speak about our relationship with Jesus. And we need to speak the truth. Truth doesn't always involve doctrine. Truth is more, well, you know, we need to speak the truth doctrinally. We want to make sure that what we teach is the truth, is according to God's word. It's not a perversion of God's will. It's not misrepresenting God. Certainly, we'd have to give very much care to speaking true doctrine. But speaking the truth involves more than just speaking true doctrine. It involves my relationship with you and your relationship with me. We're going to be honest with each other. It's going to talk about your relationship with your next door neighbor and how you interact. Aren't you tired of getting jerked around by people? Haven't we all been there? We go and somebody's been dishonest to us and tried to cover something so that they can save a little money or whatever it is. You know, we don't have a whole lot of respect for people who don't tell the truth. If my goal in life is to go into all the world and represent Jesus, I've got to watch carefully my character. I can't be known as a liar. I need to be known as one who speaks the truth. And so Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, it says, speak the truth to your neighbors. We need to be truth speakers. And man, what a burden it takes off your shoulders. When you finally come to this conclusion, and I know that most of us have, but when we come to the conclusion, I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm not going to be deceptive anymore. I'm just going to speak the truth. You don't have to keep up with what you said to who and which side and how do I frame that. Just speak the truth and it becomes so much easier. Speak the truth and then we're to speak it in love. Usually when we say that, we're talking about the way we deliver it to a person. We want to make sure that that person doesn't unnecessarily get offended. We want to speak the truth in love. So we're careful and we're tactful not to hurt their feelings. That's part of it. But you know what? God is also somebody who can get offended at the way we speak the truth. I've heard people apologetic speaking the truth. They don't like the way God said things. They're almost apologizing for what God said. If it were me, I wouldn't have written it that way, but that's what it says. So we have to. Do you don't think that's insulting to God? How dare we stand in judgment of God's edicts and pass like our approval or disapproval of it? Speaking the truth in love is speaking the truth unapologetically. I don't feel bad about saying anything that God has taught, nor should we. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38 says that we shouldn't be ashamed of speaking the truth. We need to believe in Jesus, and we also need to believe in the truth that he delivered and not be ashamed of it. But it also talks about how do we talk to people? What are we trying to accomplish? Are we winning an argument or are we trying to save a soul? Just the other day on social media, I saw somebody talking about something completely off topic, and this person responded and said, oh yeah, well you have to be baptized to be saved. And the guy was not even talking about that. And so he replied to that a little bit, and then when that thread got a little long, and he said, yeah, and you use instruments of music too. And now we're running a thread on that. And I thought, what's the purpose of this? You know, there was no context to that discussion. It was just, let me hit you with things that I think I can make stick, and you won't know how to answer. I hope that we're not trying to win arguments, but that we're trying to convert souls. And that's what it means to speak the truth in love with people. Don't weaponize the word of God. Don't like, you know, throw darts. Well, you got that with the shield, got that with the shield, got that with the shield. Ooh, finally got one in, it stuck. That's not the way we use God's word. We're trying to help people to see the truth. And so that's our theme this year, speaking the truth in love. And our focus needs to be threefold. We need to decide to speak. We need to speak the truth, not only about God, but about day-to-day life and activities, to be honest people who have integrity. And we need to speak it in love. Be mindful that God gave these words. They are the offspring of His wisdom. I don't ever want to insult the Word of God. I want to speak those words with high regard and with as great amount of respect as I can for them. And I want to share them and speak those to people in a way that I'm not trying to be offensive. I want them to know this truth so that they can be saved. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, I don't know of a better way to begin the year, as six other people have done this year, than to surrender their lives to Jesus and to take up His banner and to live for Him. As I said, in a minute, the elders are going to talk to us about our further goals and some of the accomplishments from last year. But if you want to begin this year right, surrender your life to Jesus. Turn from your sins, repent, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and begin living for Him. I know that the decision to become a Christian is one that you will never forget, never regret. I know a lot of people who will regret eternally for not making that decision. I've been in many hospital rooms when I'm dealing with people and listening and talking with people who are dying. I have yet to hear one say, "I sure wish I wouldn't have become a Christian." But I've heard and know of people who say, "Why did I wait so long? Why did I waste so many years? I've denied the Lord so much of my energy and skills and talents. Why did I do that?" Don't find yourself in that place of regret. If you need to obey the gospel, do it today. And the Lord will add you to His family. And as a member of the family of God, you become an heir of heaven. If you're here already a Christian and you've not been faithful and you want to dedicate your life more faithfully this year, what an opportune time to do it. You have 400 folks here that'll pray with you and for you if you'll come as we stand together and sing.